We are not ashamed of the gospel. That's what I love about Faith TV. We do not apologize for the anointing. We do not apologize for the supernatural power of God. For that's what happens when you enter into His presence. Hallelujah. Today I want to ask you to get your Bibles, get your notebooks, get your pens, for we're about to go into the Word of the Lord. I have a message that has been burning in my spirit over this last week, and I want to share that and release it today, knowing that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I want to teach on bold faith. I want to share this morning, first of all, starting with the three levels of faith, or the three kinds of faith. And then I want to talk about the characteristics, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it is like when you possess bold faith. How many of you ready? Amen. Three levels of faith. Number one is what the Bible refers to as unbelief or possessing no faith. Level two is where you possess the measure of faith, where you say, I have faith. And then number three, we find that the Bible refers to another kind of faith as great faith. In the Greek, the word great is translated as mega. Therefore, God is speaking and revealing that there is such a thing as mega faith. Let's begin with number one, unbelief or no faith. And I pray that by the grace of God, you are able to testify today. When I speak of unbelief and no faith, you are able to shout out with a mighty shout and say, that is not me. This is not what is synonymous with me and my family. We are not people of unbelief or people of no faith. In Matthew 15, from verse 54, it says this, and after coming to Nazareth, his hometown, this is speaking of Jesus going to his hometown, Nazareth, he began teaching them in their synagogue. And they were astonished, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They were, not, in other words, asking, what is the source of his authority? Verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not living here among us? Where then did this man get all this wisdom and power? And they took offense at him. They took offense at him, refusing to believe in him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. Verse 58, and he did not do many miracles there in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. A couple of things quickly. What did they see? They saw a carpenter's son. They saw Mary's son. They saw the brother of James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. Some might say they saw a local. And this is why I want to warn you today that familiarity breeds contempt. The moment you become so familiar, you become buddy-buddy. That is where there's a shift that happens to those who are not spiritually mature to make the shift. Where now it's your friend, where now it's the local, to now the man of God that I'm ready to receive from. And so it is that they failed to behold his glory, for they were looking with natural eyes. It is so important to create an atmosphere where it allows for the glory of God to come, where it allows for the manifestation and the demonstration of signs, wonders, and miracles. Yes, even in your home. Even in your home. Currently, we are facing what, depending on what area in the world you are, your government would call it quarantine or lockdown. It's basically the same. It's not allowing people out of their homes to go to their workplace if it's not deemed essential. Houses of worship are closed all around the world. And yet what I'm seeing in the spirit is that there is a shift that's beginning to take place. For where people typically want to create an atmosphere and lift an atmosphere within the four walls of a church building, they have neglected to lift up an atmosphere in their home, in their workplace, in their school, in their government houses, houses of parliament, in administrative offices, the area of media, sport, arts and entertainment. It's as though we have restricted the glory of God to only being made manifest within what we deem and define as a church building. But yet, we need to awaken to the revelation of Christ within. The Bible says in Colossians 1:27 that it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about that for a moment. Even Abraham, the father of faith, could never say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let that sink in today as you meditate upon the meaning of those words. Do we truly stand still and contemplate the meaning of those words? That it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let that sink in as you meditate upon those words today. There was a time in Mark chapter 8 where Jesus finds himself in a town called Bethsaida. The Bible speaks of a man who is blind. His friends lead him to Jesus. Only when he arrives and he has an encounter with Jesus, Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him out of the town. Jesus took him by the hand, led him outside of the town, and healed him outside of the town. After he had received his sight, Jesus said, "Return home, but do not enter the town." Why? Because there was a stronghold. There was an atmosphere that was not conducive for the manifestation of signs, wonders, and miracles. If Jesus saw the importance of an atmosphere, creating that atmosphere, led someone out of the city in order to heal him, how can we fail to truly comprehend the importance of setting the atmosphere, being in the glory of God, not just limited to the four walls of the church building, but in the home and in the marketplace, even in your vehicle as you're traveling to and fro. Then there's those who contain and possess faith, which is point number two, level number two, if you want to call it that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the same measure of faith. He has not given you and released unto you a measure of faith. He has given you, granted you, already released unto you the measure of faith. The Bible declares on numerous occasions that the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Faith, therefore, is not circumstantial. Faith is not limited to a certain group of people. Earlier this week, I was challenging individuals when it comes to the reality of faith. That even in my own upbringing, I used to believe that the moment someone says, I live by faith, it speaks of someone who is in poverty. As though faith is only required and even essential for those who are poor. That the moment you reach a certain level of success, faith is no longer a prerequisite or a requirement. That somehow you have outgrown the need for faith. I'm so honored to be part of this incredible ministry under the leadership of Pastor Andre and Pastor Jenny Rabin. Where even though they have already done so much, they have already accomplished so much. Anyone who looks upon them would declare that they are blessed. And yet, although they have achieved so much, accomplished so much, Pastor Andre and Jenny will always remind you that it was because of faith. And even that which they point to in the future, even pertaining to that of the faith dome, and then filling the dome with the multitudes that will come. Even going and doing that and achieving that required faith. Faith is not circumstantial. You will never outgrow faith, for the just shall live by faith. It is a way of life. If you live for Jesus, you live a life of faith. Right there in the comment section, say this with me. I live by faith. Let that be your declaration. I live by faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lo and behold, the Amplified version of the Bible speaks of that faith is the title deed. It is taking that in possession before you actually see it in the natural. In the spirit, the moment you call forth something, as I was sharing with you last week, the word command in Greek is kaleo, which speaks of to summon. As I speak, the word of God goes forth by faith. Faith is a response to that which God has already spoken. And the moment I respond in faith, I summon that which is not seen to appear. Hebrews 11:1 does not say it does not exist. For the moment it is decreed, it is declared, it exists. In the spiritual realm, all that needs to happen is it needs to now manifest in the natural. Then number three, there are those who have what is referred to as great faith. Or as I said, from the Greek, the word great is translated as mega, having mega faith. Twice Jesus marvels at people's mega faith. Quite interestingly, at both occasions, it's not Jews, not God's people, but Gentiles. The first one is the Roman centurion, something that you all know very well. In Matthew 8, It was a Roman centurion who approaches Jesus and says, I need you to heal my servant who is very ill. In Matthew 8 and verse 7, Jesus says, I will come and I will heal him. Verse 8, the Roman centurion says, well, Jesus, you do not have to come to my house. Simply say the word and my servant will be healed. Verse 9, he says, for I also am a man subject to authority of a higher rank, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my other one, I say, do this, and he does that. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Jesus, the Son of God, was amazed. And he said to those who were following him, I tell you truthfully, I have not found such great faith as this with anyone in Israel. He said to Jesus, only give the command. Lo and behold, this is someone who does not have the word of God. If someone who is a Gentile, non-believer, does not even know what is written, could come face to face with Jesus and say that at thy word, my servant will be healed. Who are we who have the word? 66 books of the Bible. The best-selling book in all of history. This very book that is so revered, that is so threatening to governments around the world, that it is banned in more than 50 countries. How is it that we who have possession of this book still say, well, I don't know if God... It is God's will. If you want to know what is God's will, simply read His word. If God's word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. If God's word says, by His stripes you have been healed, who are we to say, I don't believe it? If God says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it, how dare we say, I do not live in prosperity? If God's word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. What are the characteristics of great faith? It is being tenacious, unyielding, persistent, consistent, solid, durable, even stubborn, or can I say bold? How does secular dictionaries define the word bold or boldness as? It says extremely daring, recklessly brave, fearless, extremely original, without restriction to prior ideas, highly inventive, recklessly bold in defiance of convention, propriety, law, or the like, lively, unrestrained, uninhibited. That is a secular translation of what it means to be bold or to possess bold faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. The Greek word for fight describes fierce combat with an adversity. I want to remind you that the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that faith is the shield that you carry. It's a shield. Now, many people would think of a shield as just being a defensive weapon. You are just trying to obviously quench the fiery darts, and that's true. But I've also seen how armies of the world have used shields. Not defensively, but offensively. What I mean by that is if you take that shield, and Paul was writing from the description of that which he saw from the Romans, which is a massive shield. It covers the entire length of the soldier. That shield, if you carry it in the correct manner, having trained with that shield which many would use defensively actually becomes a weapon. For with that shield, they are able to storm the enemy and push through the resistance. And that is why we are called not only to possess the gates of our enemy, which speaks of power and authority, controlling what comes in and what goes out. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. We are called to storm the gates of hell. And we are reminded that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We are to fight the good fight of faith. But in order to go from a place of being defensive to going on the offense and fighting the good fight of faith, it is going to require great faith, mega faith, bold faith in Jesus' name. Mark 11:24 in closing says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, anything, anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. I've discovered that there are many Christians who have gotten quite successful in the area of prayer, in making their requests known to God. But not many have mastered the ability to have an expectation to receive an answer or to receive an outcome. What I mean by that is, if you look at the Greek for receive, it speaks of lambanoi. That's what the word is in Greek. Lambanoi, which means to take by force. So if I were to hand you this handkerchief, typically, you know what, in cultures, I know the way I grew up in an Afrikaans household, you know, very respectful, very reserved, very conservative. Someone hands you something, you're like, thank you so much. But what is meant by this word used by Jesus in the Greek, lambanoi, means to take by force. It reveals that we are to snatch it. We are to take it, to seize with a grip that cannot be shaken off. In other words, I'm talking about a bold faith that is allowing God's word to be the final authority in my life. A bold faith that is total and complete confidence, reliance in the word of God. That if God has said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Come on, I'm wanting you to declare this with me today. Declare this with me. Say this with me. I am who He says I am. I can have what He says I can have. I can do what He says I can do. No more limitations. No more boundaries. From today, in the name of Jesus. Come on, if that is your declaration, let us know in the comment section. This is my declaration. This is my decree, knowing that you shall decree a thing and it will be established. No more limitations, no more boundaries. Only you saying, I will stand on faith on the word of God. I will not be the one to stagger in unbelief. I will not be the one who will be double-minded. I will not only go and say, I have a little bit of faith. I will not be a possessor and be called, oh, you one of little faith. I will be the one whom God will say, who marvels and says, this is my son who is a possessor of mega faith. He is bold. He is daring. He is tenacious. He is audacious. He is willing to take my word as his final authority in his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to snatch it. You need to take it. Whatever it is in the anointing of God, whatever it is that's holding you back, you need to say today, today is the day of my breakthrough. Today, from this day, no more holding back. No more standing on the sideline. No more standing in defense. I will go on the offense and I will take and advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you that from this day forward, we will release our faith. And with thanksgiving, we will have an expectation of the manifestation of that which we have released unto you. Right there where you are, I want you to say, I receive it. I receive it. I take it by force. I seize it today. I take it. And that nothing and no one is going to be able to shrug me off. in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It is finished. And right there where you are, if you've never given your life to Jesus, this is the time, this is the moment, the greatest moment. And right after that, we're going to go to the Lord's table and celebrate communion. If you've never given your life to Jesus before, or maybe it is that you have, but you're not there where you're supposed to be, pray this prayer with me today. Dear Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sin. I ask now that you will forgive me. Right now, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Touch me. Change me. Fill me. And let me never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen.